This recording will be for the Emory County School District Board of Education meeting on May 6th of 2009, held at Castledale Elementary School, starting at 7 p.m.
Background music, there's some baby ducks or chicks or something.
We have some presents, thanks to Roy, but
they went to another home.
I thought the cookies were right here in the audience.
Oh, it's up here. Michael. Yeah. Would you join in standing for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. We will begin by doing some employee recognition awards. I will let Roy go first. We have our first recognition.
Yeah. Mine is for Iva Wilski, the 2008-2009 Teacher of the Year. And Iva Wilski has been teaching in the
Roy, why don't you move around the front right next to him? We'll okay. Take a picture when you're done.
For 21 years, I think?
Yeah.
She taught one in the Carbon District and one, and did you teach 1 year in the Virgin Islands?
I taught 3 in Carbon.
3.
I won in the Virgin Islands.
You did, see, if I hold this far enough. We taught 2nd, 3rd, and 3rd, and 4th, and 5th grade with a wide range of experience. She's taught and been a mentor for other teachers in both the lower and upper grades. Iva is well respected by her peers, I can attest to that. She's just a wonderful teacher in Green River, and they look to her as a teacher leader. She's been involved in many school and district committees. She's a member of the district curriculum committee for several years, during which time the district was implementing a systematic approach to curriculum development and textbook adoption. You may remember that. Iva's classes always show an outstanding academic performance. The thrill of seeing students learn a new concept excites her as much today as it did the first day she entered the classroom as a new teacher. She continually strives to improve her teaching skills, and Iva deeply cares about children that have a special soft spot in their heart, those students who have challenges in their lives. It's common as a common sight to see a former student giving her a hug or visiting her classroom before school begins at lunch or after school. She's touched the lives of hundreds of children in her teaching career. That is really so true. Iva is the cream of the crop when it comes to teaching, and we really appreciate you and what you do in the district. And if you have anything you want to say, you're welcome to say it.
Catherine may want to pick up that teacher coming in.
Oh. Yeah.
Congratulations.
You want to pick the teacher of the year.
Catherine, you want a picture of this teacher of the year?
Congratulations.
Flat.
I've got a good picture of this.
Get over there, Roy. Get another
picture. Stay up here, Ivan.
They brought a picture with the sandwich paper, because the paper's here, we'll let them take their own.
Okay. Oh, Roy, come on. No, you look too bad. Come on.
We'll have to bring that.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh. Oh, funny.
Who knows where it will be in the morning?
There you go.
No, we'll just let it warm.
That is a turkey, by
God. I'm going to ask that Roma brother can come up, and I'm going to take the opportunity to do this one for Roma. He's somebody I've claimed. Roma has been 19 years with the school district and secretary in Kennedy Junior High School. He is a hard worker and goes way beyond the job requirements. He has always been willing to help with programs, assemblies, correspondence, meals, and parties. He is known for not only the professional ways he carries out for assignments, but also for the many acts of kindness he shows to students and staff members who are in need of a friend or a favor. He remembers birthdays and other special events in the lives of others. Roma is an advocate of students, especially those who need special care and attention. He is a positive example of high standards at school and in the community. He has trained several principals and has made sure they keep on track. Roma has touched the lives of hundreds of students in Emory County and is a valued employee in the Emory County School District. Roma is their mom, and she takes care of everybody, and the ones that need it the most or deserve it the most, she gives the most, and she just, I can't even express how much we value her as an employee, so thank you for that.
Congratulations. Yes, they want congratulations.
Thank you.
Well
deserved.
You're probably used to that. A little bit.
Break out the hazmat soon.
We will begin with the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes, and the financial reports for March and April of 2009. Are there any questions or concerns that we need to bring up? If not, a motion is in order.
I would make a motion we accept them as we have received them.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we need approval of comprehensive guidance program.
The part I have in the box is what the state sets out as our comprehensive guidance, what we should be doing for the students, and it breaks down into four components: guidance curriculum, individual planning, sponsored services, and system support. They, when we get our annual report, which we have to do, as Christine and I went through it, we realized, because it says that 80% of the time should be in direct services to students, that in some areas become probably short in that aspect. But we do our best. And so I broke it down. This is what the state gives the explanation, what the each criteria should be. So I just broke it down in how we do what we do in each of the areas. And basically, this is how we get it on our report to the state, that we have guidance curriculum for 15%, the individual planning for 25%. On the back, you'll have the sponsored services for 20%, the system support for 10%, and then other 30%. A lot of these correspond to overlap into one area there, depending on what aspect you're doing. For instance, 18 tests can be a lot for the individual planning, for the college and career development, but it also is a lot of administrative aspects and administering them and giving them orders and whatnot. So I broke it down in each area. You want me to go through every aspect, or you're okay with looking at this? The other things that I put down for you for your information those support individuals that in the Emory High School Counseling Office. And then concurrent enrollment credit, I thought you'd be interested in this. Mm-hmm. If the students pass everything that they knew, that we will, the high school will earn 1,190 credits, which is amazing, college credits. Mm-hmm. And then for AP tests, we're going to administer 127 tests that included 88 students, which some of them are taking several tests. Four actually is the ones we're getting at the high school. This morning I did LTLS. In the morning I'm doing the English literature, and Friday we'll do the U.S. history, and then next Wednesday we'll do the English
composition.
There you go. Thank you. He's always behind me. So that's how many the ATFs are added up to a lot of money. As I ordered those, it was a little overwhelming to see that I was responsible for that many tests that were worth that much money. But if you have any questions?
I just make a comment that we are really concerned about concurrent enrollment right now in the state. There is a movement to redefine eligibility for concurrent enrollment. There are now to be required, although it's not as strict as they started out, tests that would be given to students to qualify for concurrent enrollment. And there are also, although I don't think it'll have a huge impact on us immediately, there are some courses that they will no longer offer in the future by concurrent enrollment. If those courses are typically offered to 9th and 10th graders, they will not allow them for concurrent enrollment. Right now, I don't think we have too many of those, but they are making it much more difficult for students to participate, and I hope that the legislature will look at that and try to keep that program viable for rural areas. It's critical, because this is one way that kids are able to participate in higher level courses that we can't offer in our local schools. They can also get college credit along with the high level class at the high school level. So we need to watch that one very carefully. I'd like to commend our counseling department at Emory High for what they do, and district wide, the comprehensive guidance. Program that's extremely underfunded at the state level, but we have excellent people who do a tremendous job, a great job, and watch out for the needs of our students. I just commend them for that.
We do appreciate all that you do. That is remarkable. We do the AP test and the concurrent enrollment is just an integral part of our teaching and getting kids to college, really.
And to add on to that, it's not just those higher ed students. It's also, we get a lot of concurrent enrollment credits through our CTE.
Right. No. That's right.
Which goes across the board, and it helps those students who may not be as academically inclined. Mm-hmm. And it actually gives them that career opportunity to pursue that career and be successful and give back to the community.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, we need a motion to approve that.
I would make a motion that we approve it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have a request for out-of-state travel for Emory High drill team.
I'm going to stand over for this so I can look at my mom. will be receiving a 20% discount and a 10% discount. Upon arrival to business, we will step into the hotel and prepare for the next day. We will be waking up at approximately 6 a.m. We will be ready for camp at 7. We will be up until around 4:30 when the camp is concluded for the night. We will return to our rooms, rest, and prepare for dinner. We will have two options of what to do for the remainder of the night. We may either go up to competition hotel each night to get new ideas, or we may go on tour of Vegas. If we choose to tour, there will be rules of what we can do. We will stay out of casinos and bars. We will do things that are low cost, like going to the M&M factory and the Coca-Cola factory. Other things in the center. We will be returning on July 25th after checkout. This will give all drivers time to rest and not have to drive in the middle of the night. My drivers and chaperones will be myself, Leanne Snow. It's not Doug Stilson.
So many things that this will encourage. So,
any other questions?
I think Gwen has.
I just had a comment on there. As I've gotten online and checked this out on this training, they're very reputable training, there's no doubt about that. It's up to date. The competitions that the competitive routines that they teach them are very competitive, which I think is a plus for attending this one. There really are a limited number of trainers in Utah that will come out to a rural area or that even have training sessions in the state that I know you're looking at having a trainer come out to one that will teach you a couple of competitive routines. I know a problem that we've had in the past is there are limited numbers of these people that will come to do that, and they have taught the same routine or parts of the same routine to the same to different schools in the same region, let alone in GA. So I know that in the past that has been a problem. I'm sure there are only limited number of things that can do, you know, with the people that we have. So that to eliminate that, I would say that those are some of the pros. On the pro side, I think, on the con side, being that it is an analysis. But
what is the cost?
The cost is $210 per girl. We will be receiving a 20% discount for staying at the Flamingo, and the Flamingo will be $55 a night. We will need three rooms, and it is one adult and two girls in each room.
And that's out of your drill team funds?
Yes. We have the funding for this as well. Going to this is honestly, if I were to take my whole team to this, it would come, minus the hotel room, fairly close to what I'm paying to have a personal choreographer come here. So it's going to be just as expensive for us to have.
And the reason for just taking your officers rather than the whole team, it would cost the family.
No, my girls are amazing. My seniors, my juniors, I do have the new girls that have a long way to come. This camp is not slow. They do not break things down the way that my new girls would need a book to understand. And I don't want to take a new girl there, get her completely stressed out to where she doesn't want to be doing drill. So that's why I figured my six girls would be. And most teams, honestly, most teams do an officer camp every year. So.
Any other questions?
Is that a 10-seat belt in the Suburban?
Nine.
Nine.
Three.
Three.
What do you drag behind?
We are going to take me and my mom and the six girls.
And Dad
is going to ride
the other Scott.
Yeah, and Scott and Heather are going to drive their own vehicle with suitcases. We need a luggage car. Sorry, I'm taking six girls to Vegas. We need a luggage
car. Yeah. So where are we on liability? That would be this mine.
Well, actually this past week we just sent an email out to all the principals restricting out-of-state travel except approved by the board because we were expecting a new state board rule on out-of-state travel and liability. And we didn't get that yesterday or the day before. And basically it still allows out-of-state travel, limited out-of-state travel, if the local board has a policy that includes approval of the trips, you know, at the appropriate administrative or board level, which we do have. The school or school district has considered the purpose of the trip or activity and any related competing risk or liability. You have to understand that when you cross the state line, all of the caps on liability are removed. There's no cap. In Utah, there's a cap on what someone can sue you for. But outside the state, there's no cap. So if there's an accident and it proves to be from neglect or the fault of the school district, then those caps are not there anymore. You're still covered by risk management, but the caps are removed. So they're asking us to try to limit as much as possible out-of-state trips, but not eliminate them. So you have to kind of weigh the liability with that. The other thing is it says given the distance, purpose, and length of the trip, the school district, because it's okay if the school district has determined that the use of a publicly owned school vehicle is most appropriate for the trip or activity. The risk management on this particular trip. Also, we have to consult with risk management. Their advice is that if the board does approve it, they do use district-owned vehicles, not private vehicles. The thing I also have to understand is when you take private vehicles on a trip, if the private vehicle owner's liability insurance is covering those occupants, not risk management. So it's the private vehicle owner's insurance that covers that. Of course, when they lift the caps, then risk management would have to pick up from there. But so I don't really think that there's any reason to deny the trip based on what we see there. We still have to develop our own policy on it or update our current policies. But I would just ask if the board does approve it, there's several things that probably need to happen. Number one, extremely tight supervision.
Yep.
I notice in the rules that it says, let chaperones know where you're at all times. I don't think that any of these young sweet girls should be out of sight of a chaperone at any time.
Right. And if you look at the next rule, it says,
I just think the two are kind of in conflict with each other in my mind. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I would recommend that you have a contract that is signed by each of the girls and their parents that outlines the rules, and that the parents sign parental consent for them to participate.
Absolutely.
You may have some parents who may feel a little bit uneasy simply because of the Las Vegas environment. I don't know that that's the case, but let's say you do, and they decide that they don't want to have them go. They need to be able to do that without any consequence to the girl for the next year. In other words, if a parent decides they don't want their girl to participate, then there shouldn't be any negative consequence for that girl as far as the drill team, because they choose not to go.
And I have contacted all the parents already, and they're behind me 100%.
So, beyond that, I think we're okay. It's just that whenever a vehicle leaves the state, we all hold our breath. So.
Yeah.
I know that this is a scary place to drive. My husband is going to California, so I would kind of pit stop in Vegas on my way to California every other weekend. So I have driven in Vegas on the stress, in the stress, during rush hours. It's scary, but I'm good at it. I've done it enough that I feel comfortable taking my own children. So.
Yeah, and I think you have some good chaperones going. I don't see a problem with that. I would suggest that you spend as much time watching the competitions each night.
Right.
Limit the tours of Vegas. I know that there's probably some things they'd like to see, but
yeah.
Kind of limit that and go. But there may be some of that.
Can I offer something as well? They have their own security there as well. The girls are all standard, and they have security.
That's part of the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
think you're brave to take high school kids down there.
So for my own clarification, the girls are riding in the suburban van. The parents are driving the cars without the students in the
apparently house. One car going with just parents.
There would be two actually.
But the kids will be in the suburban. I think that definitely would be.
It has to be that way.
Okay.
And they will absolutely wear their seatbelts.
So I think I would recommend that the board approve it with a strong, strong recommendation. Be careful and alert.
And I would like to add one other, and that is that this doesn't present an expectation that this will be an every year occurrence.
Correct.
Okay. And I move that we approve it unless someone else has other questions, comments.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Well, thank you. Don't be nervous. You're a great guy. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You did well.
Thank you.
Very nice.
You have to stay for the rest of the board meeting.
I'm thinking that's your problem. You maybe don't
have to. You really don't have to. You don't have to stay.
No one is required to stay for the entire board meeting.
No.
That
I'm a good board member.
There are some who are.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
We have some personnel actions to move for approval.
Yes, actually, there are two. I think I said one. Emory High is recommending Monica Wardle as cheerleader advisor. This is Monica Wyden. Used to be Jackie's daughter.
She's probably killing Jackie's daughter.
Yeah, she is. Used to be living at home with her. Okay, well, she is Jackie's daughter. And also, Megan Gilbert as half English teacher at Emory High School. We were filling half of the JR's position this year. So I recommend the board approve those two.
Is that Megan Thompson?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I can feel good about making that motion.
Right. I would second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have the land trust plan approvals.
Yes, and I apologize. When I read some of the plans I sent you, there's a couple of words cut off at the end of each sentence, but that's the way it's written. I tried to do a summary for you of what they're using the land trust money for. I've been through each of them. I did do a summary and a list. Many of them are the same things that they've done in the past. There will be some changes in the future starting this next year with land trust in that the local school board will have more to do with it than at the state level. The state is basically pulling back their control, and it will be up to local school districts more. I don't even know how much auditing will be done by the state. The rules are pretty much the same as far as the use of funds. It needs to be used for academic purposes, class size reductions, those kind of things. And the school community council is, of course, charged with the responsibility of helping to develop and approve that plan. And to my knowledge, all of the school community councils have approved these plans, and certainly open it for any questions you might have that I can try and answer. If not, we'll...
I have one.
Okay.
And I apologize. I read through this, but I must have missed it. What is the A-plus credit recovery
program? Okay, Glenn can answer that in a hurry.
I couldn't see that reference.
Or Larry.
Regarding this was through the adult ed program is also used as a safety sort of high school credit recovery program. So we have that installed now, and we're going to be using that at every high school.
I know that because of budget reductions, there are several of the schools that are using some of their land trust funds to help buy a prep period to reduce some class size. I just know Emory High did this year with math, and I think we'll continue that. And I think Santa Fe is trying to do something there as well as Canyon, with one period of English, and I think some educational assistant aid time with the band program at Santa Fe because of what we're doing there. So I'd recommend the board approve the land trust plans as they've been written by the council.
Okay, is there a motion?
I make a motion to accept the plan.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have the consideration and awarding of the bid for flooring.
Okay, this is on the yellow sheet. As you know, each summer we try to do some carpeting and retiling in our schools where it's most needed. The next item we'll talk about is asbestos abatement, and whenever we do that, we have to replace those areas that we abate with either type of carpet or tile. And this year, Terry and his staff did advertise in the paper and did the tour and everything, and we were only able to get one bid for the carpet and tiling. That was from Affordable Flooring, which is John Sorensen. He's done it for us the last, well, at least the last 3 years that I've been here. and does a good job. Ideally, we'd get more than one bid, but it is what we get. So we did look at the cost compared to how they've trended the last 2 to 3 years, and it's comparable. It's nothing that's out of line with what we've seen in recent years. So with that said, I'll answer any questions. Terry, do you have anything to add for the target of
that? We've really focused a lot on the quality of carpet this time, and we're getting a good quality of carpet. Last time we went to.
Lifetime of who?
Well,
we have to talk about specifics. Maintenance supervisor.
Yeah, I'm okay.
At least until you retire, right?
Yeah, right. Either lifetime warranty or graduation warranty, we figured lifetime was shorter.
Yeah.
I guess to briefly explain what these projects cover, at Oak Cliff Elementary, it will be 3 classrooms. At Ferns and Cottonwood Elementaries, these are the areas that they're doing asbestos abatement in, that to resurface the flooring there with carpeting tile. And then at San Rafael, they put in a request in the, we call it the U-turn hallway. Just as you go into the school, you turn left and it kind of goes around in a U-turn there. It's to cover those walls with carpet. The students tend to draw on them quite a bit, and also to reduce some of the sound that comes through those. They requested that, and so it's a little bit less expensive of the carpet that will go on the walls there, but we thought that would be good for the school. So those are the projects that we'd be doing this summer.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve that?
I move we accept those bids.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, let's talk about the asbestos abatement.
Hey, I guess we probably should have done this one first, but we went through the same procedure with this. Terry and his staff advertised and then did a tour and then a bid opening for asbestos abatement this year. We're looking at projects in Cottonwood and Terran Elementary, and we had, as you can see on the summary sheet, just the first one. 4 bids come in. Excuse me, 3 bids come in. We thought we were going to get 4, but A1 did not submit a bid by time. The low bid by quite a ways is the Eagle Environmental, and this is the bid that we would recommend approving. One little caveat, I guess, with that. Terry was explaining that within, as they do this, they have zones. And with each zone that they do, they have to do a testing or a sample of that zone. And Eagle Environmental typically does more zones than the others. So we may have some added testing costs with going with Eagle Environmental, but it won't compensate for the difference in bids, if you see here. So the total bid amount, $22,780, is what we'd recommend approving. Terry, did you have anything to add?
That's true. The testing samples, we will have to do that ourselves, and they cost $100 a sample, and each zone requires 5 pre-tests and 5 clearance samples, and so it's kind of expensive, but working with environmental, we're going to try to limit the number of zones, so if we can do that, it should not be, it won't be anywhere near the other bid.
What are you thinking?
Well, at the most, that would be 4 zones.
Okay.
Well, these other bids, they don't include the cost of the testing, do they?
No. When we did our walkthrough, we discussed it with all of them that we would take care. They charge much more for a sample than we do by doing it through the district. All we have to pay for is simply the cost of actually having it analyzed.
Okay.
And they would pay for someone to come out and do that, and so they're costing a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't seem safe.
I move that we accept the low bid from Eagle Environmental.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have a lease agreement for property and animal.
Okay. We have a copy of the, well, again, we advertised this in the paper after we discussed this a while ago to offered to citizens of the county the opportunity to lease the property that we own out of Nelmo, 40 acres. I did have two or three people come and talk to me, but we only got one bid, which was from Colby Jensen, who was the individual who came in and talked to us about it in the first place. Proposing to enter into a lease agreement for at least 10 years at $2 per acre on 40 acres, so $80 total. I understand he intends to put some fencing up. I think at least on the north end of that property there's no fencing, and there are a couple holes on the south end too. I'm not sure if he will totally be closing it off or not. This is an item that if you feel like we need to discuss it a little bit more before agreeing or not agreeing to the terms, we can discuss that in a closed meeting. Or if you're comfortable with that, you can go ahead and approve this. I think my only concern is how long we offer the lease for, or if we need to have a stipulation that if we need to use the land, we can give a 6-month or a 1-year notice or something like that.
That would be
well. We would still have the option of retaining it.
I think that takes all of the other.
And I realize this is an odd question, but if he's going to have animals grazing on there, we have no legal responsibility as far as liability goes if his animals get out from the ground and cause somebody a wreck or something, do we? Because we own the ground.
I don't know the answer to that for sure.
I'm assuming not, but it might be something you can
add.
In today's litigious society, I learned that word.
So it might be something that we could add into the agreement that we would be responsible or liable for accidents or something that happened on the land while it's being leased.
That's
a good idea. If he's going to have some expenditure as far as putting in the small scale alfalfa production, shouldn't we give him, say we'll allow him to be on the property for a minimum of 5 years, and then if we need it after that, then we would give him a 1-year notice or something? Because I would hate for him to put in that property and say, oh man, we need it 6 months from now. After, you know, he wouldn't really get anything back from his work or
investment.
Yeah.
I would like to say this, that you have more liability right now with the property the way it is than you will ever have with the animals on it, simply because of the motorcycles that are jumping and running on that property right now.
Well, he's going to have to
take all the just a while ago, I heard we've had about five accidents there over the years and not had any problems so far, but there is quite a trail system out on there.
I really think it will be to our benefit.
I do too. I think after we looked at it, have something that's cleared for.
So can we make a motion that we approve it pending those minor changes?
Did we agree on a 5-year lease with a 1-year notice?
You can amend it. You can make a motion to approve it with amendments.
As we amend
it. There'll be a minimum 5-year and then a 1-year notice if the district needs to use the property, and then also that he would assume all liability for any animal source. Equipment to some property.
So why would we need to shorten it to 5 years? Because when you look, 10 years, if we need it,
Roy says he's expecting a real boom.
But if you're gonna, you can take it back in a year. I don't see the reason to. It seems like I wonder if he would feel hesitant to put stuff in if it were only a 5 year.
No, I'm not saying a 5 year. Minimum 5 years. 10 years. But if we're going to say that we want to be able to take the property back with a 1-year notice, we need to give him at least a minimum of 5 years he can stay on it for sure, and plan on 10 years.
I see what you're
plan
saying.
Plan on 20 years, I don't care how long he's there.
But I think it would be wise to leave the option just in case Elmo has to use them.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Okay, so
motion. So my motion included all those amendments that we discussed.
He's got it. Okay, is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have the principal's report.
ask you their bills, but you wouldn't let me do it.
No, you're stuck.
3 minutes? 2.5? I just want to let the board know that we do have a great faculty here at Campbell. We, I feel like we work well together. There's a lot of educational things that goes on that is not tested. And, you know, this, for example, there's percent up here, they measure their bodies, and this is mini-me, this is half scale of what their bodies are. And if you take the actual bodies and measure, they're pretty close. Now, there's, you know, there's a few distortions, but it's a lot of stuff that is a good learning activity. That they have to use math, but it's not tested. It doesn't show up on any test. And this is the way that, you know, I think all schools are this way, but ours is no exception in this, but there's a lot of things that goes on that students learn from and doesn't show up on any test. And I just want to let you know that every one of our faculty does things like that. If you go down the 6th grade hall, you can take a tour of the world right now. There's maps of the world, there's where they've enlarged the different countries that they have written reports on. They made travel brochures. There's a lot of stuff like that. It doesn't show up on any test, but it's there, and it's a lot of learning activities that goes on. We are losing one of our faculty this year. Mrs. Jess will be retiring in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be a big hole to fill there. She's been a great asset for many, many years. So we will miss her. The district is involved in a elementary math endorsement class. We have one class to go. I've sat in on most of the classes, and it's been fun to see the growth in these individual teachers. From almost drudgery to where now they're excited, and not only are they excited, but it shows up in their classrooms as well. And these teachers are continually learning, and they're not stopping, even though some of them are retiring. We've got one that's taking the class, will be retiring. But it still benefits the students on an ongoing daily basis as she learns things in this math endorsement class that she takes back to the classroom. Now, this particular teacher I'm referring to is Cottonwood. It has been a great class with a lot of educational knowledge that has been transferred, and just to listen to them talk in their individual tables and classes. Mr. Jensen can attest to this. He's said in about as many as I have, and it's been fun to see the growth in these individuals.
How many teachers do we have in that program?
We started out with 25,
and we've got
we have 23 now. Jordan Humphrey was in it, and then Jill Packer. Let me brag on Ralph.
Go ahead.
When we lost Jill, we really didn't have anybody to facilitate that class, make sure there's where they needed to be, and so Ralph's taking that over. He has the classes here. He's all here all the time. And I've appreciated the things that he's done because it took a whole lot of load off of me. So a lot of our principals are doing those things and taking on extra responsibilities. And it makes our job a lot
easier. Ralph is our elementary math specialist now. And we have Dennis Jones as our literacy elementary reading specialist. And they're taking on those responsibilities and doing an outstanding job. With Ralph, you've been doing well.
They're
life changers,
so appreciate what they're doing.
He'll never say that, so we appreciate you doing that.
They're always in the background. You don't see them doing all those things, whether life changers or
I don't know what to say. Anyway, as I mentioned, our teachers, not only the ones that are taking the math class, but all of our teachers continue to learn. We have a core academy that is held every year, and we have the highest percentage of any
district in the state of Utah attend this core academy. It's offered statewide through different locations. We almost lost it in Castleville this year, but thanks to Mr. Jensen, we do have it back for at least one more year. But we have a higher percentage. In fact, one year we had over 100%. We had over 100% because we had a teacher that took, she was teaching a split class, split grade. She took the one grade here, went up to Utah County and took the other grade up there. And so because of that, we had over 100% that took the core academy.
They tried to move it to the Ogden area. They found out they couldn't get enough people, so they came back to Emory County.
They told me there were 250 people at the best. 350 coming to Emory County.
Wow.
And it's something that the teachers learn continually. They get to get information, and then they get material to go into the classroom and teach. And it's an ongoing thing. So we continue to work with Mrs. Whittle from the high school. She brings her struggling readers down to read with our first and second grade. She reads with them, the second graders in the fall and the first graders in the spring. And it's good for both groups. It really is. She was telling me the other day of a success story with one of her life course students that mentioned, you know, some of the things that they were wearing on their shirt that really wasn't too appropriate. So she talked to her one day, and the next day when they came down, he says, Mrs. Little, can I go get my sweatshirt so I can cover up the shirts I've got so these kids don't see what I'm wearing. So, you know, and she was very impressed with that, the fact that he took initiative to do it rather than being reminded. And as far as reading, it helps for them to read with our kids. It just benefits both ways. We're trying something new this year with us and Cottonwood. We're going to have a combined school track meet. We don't know how it's going to work. We've never done it before. They've always had a track meet. We've always had a track meet. And it was actually one of the parents from Cottonwood that suggested, why don't you guys do this together? And it will be about the same amount of students that we had when I first started teaching. We're going to try it. If it works, we'll continue. If not, then we'll go back to the two individual schools. So we're just going to, there's no transportation issue involved there because they always come to high school. We need to walk up to high school, and so we're going to try it this year. And just some of the fun activities that I've already mentioned, that if you look around the building, there's a lot of things displayed. And we just want to let you know that we appreciate the support that we get from the board and from the district office.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. I appreciate the things you do academically. I know you do a lot of other things, and even the dancing. You're still doing the dancing.
Yeah,
even the dancing.
In fact, we have a few more schools involved.
Oh, really?
The Orange Field is great. I'm an older student.
We have four elementary schools. We have four in the valley. How many dancing schools do we have? Everybody except
it's carrying over because we were doing a dance, and that's what the kids wanted was the structured dance. So they're getting the flavor of it.
You know, and that's
a big education.
When Ms. Burnham first approached me about this, she said, "What's this video? It was about a dance competition back in New York, I think, inner city New York." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Can we do something like that there?" And but the thing that is so amazing to me, if her kids have a choice for PE, and I would bet opposite, totally opposite. If they have a choice, they will choose to dance.
Amazing.
It just totally baffles me. I didn't think sixth graders would do that, but they do.
That's great. We appreciate all of your teachers and your staff. Will you pass that on to them?
Before I kind of get to some of the things I have written down and I hand it to you, I just got this today. It's the continuing saga of the H1N1.
Oh, good.
Oh.
No problem.
On Monday, the direction was, well, actually, we were on the phone with Public Health Department Thursday and Friday of last week because we did have a student who was ill in Green River that had been down in Monticello and turned out not to be anything. But we were on the phone with the Health Department over that. At that time, they were just developing guidelines. And since then, there have been 5 new guidelines come out to us. Monday, the direction was that if we have, we're not to close schools unless you have a confirmed case. And now today, which between Monday and Wednesday, of course you've heard on the news that they're really backing up on how serious and severe it is. I'm worried about the future and where this strain could develop. But the cases that have been confirmed and the cases that have been throughout the country have been more like the regular flu than anything. So the new recommendation, school closure is not advised for a suspected or confirmed case of H1N1, and in general is not advised unless there is a magnitude of faculty and student absenteeism that interferes with the school's ability to function, which is basically what we do now when we have flu outbreaks and we have half our kids gone, we close school. The schools that were closed based on CDC guidance are now authorized to reopen. You know that statewide those schools are reopening. Mm-hmm. Students, faculty, staff with influenza-like illness, which is a fever with a cough or sore throat, should stay at home and not attend school or go into the community except to seek medical care for at least 7 days, even if symptoms resolve sooner. And they should stay home at least 24 hours after the symptoms have been resolved. There's other things, but that's basically where we're at now with they changed the name of swine flu, but they H1N1. So we're not anticipating having to close school. I don't know if there'll be any repercussions on this nationwide as far as No Child Left Behind and assessments concerned. This has come at a time when many school districts are in the middle of our core testing, and it has had some impact on kids wanting to come to school. And so, you know, whether they'll look at that and look at the adequate progress reports this year and make any adjustments, I don't know. Whether they'll be, would be able to do any kind of appeals on that basis. I did hear of a student who was actually afraid to go to school, wanted to stay home. They were worried about having hand sanitizer with them. Literally was afraid to come to school because of it, because of what they heard on the news last week. But anyway, that's the latest update. That came out today. So give you that information. As far as other things, recognition, we gave Employee of the Year Award tonight. We also have the Arch Cole Star Teacher Program that is quite, it's gaining a lot of steam and it's quite a huge deal now in the 5 school districts that Arch Cole is involved with. It's been going now, I think, for 3 years, Kim, right? This is the 3rd year. Kim has been one of those teachers who've been involved in helping the judge for the years. We had a teacher this year who was recognized by Arch Cole as a star teacher. That was Terry McElprang from Huntington Elementary. She was recognized last Thursday. It was quite an event. They had a luncheon in Price for all 5 school districts. That's Carbon, Emory, and North and South San Pete and Sevier school districts. They give 5 awards each year, and I think there's like $2,500 cash award or $3,500. And quite a recognition. They had the CEO from Arch Cole there. We had the executive director for UEA was there. We had our senators and representatives there, along with all of the superintendents from the 5 school districts. State school board member was there. It was well put on. Then they had a presentation at Wellington Elementary. I think Marie was there.
for that. So we'd like to recognize Terry for that. I know there was a thing in the paper on that just last week. We also, however, had three teachers who received what they call Golden Apple certificates in recognition also with Arch Cole. This is not the Star Teacher Award, but they do have, I guess they're called kind of runners-up, but they receive recognition. We had Lane Hales, Lori Labrum, and Vicki Rasmussen, who were also recognized as part of that program. So we recognize those here tonight to let you know about them. One other recognition, or a couple of recognitions, received a letter from the state office, two letters from the state office of education, and this has become kind of a habit for our school district, but it's not, these recognitions are not given. There's 41 school districts, 42 now, charter schools and the New Canyon School District. One of those is, this is from the state superintendent. My pleasure is I congratulate you and the Emory District's financial teams as recipients of the 2009 Excellence in Financial Reporting Award presented by the State Office of Education. As one of only 16 districts in the state to receive this recognition, you may be proud of the contributions made by every person involved at the school district level. So I'd like to commend our, particularly our business office, but that also includes others, the school secretaries and others who work with finance, principals and others, but particularly to Jared and Jackie and Carrie in our business office for what they do there. And also another letter recognizing the district for the 2009 Excellence in Statistical Reporting, one of 26 districts of the 42 who were recognized, and that also is our, to recognize our business department, but also John Crawford, who is our data specialist, Doug Johnson, those who in our district who work with statistics and reporting. There's a lot of people, our secretaries and principals who work with us.
Everyone in the district office.
Statistical reports, a big part of the So I think it's neat that we get that recognition, and I want to share that with you as a board member.
We get a lot of positive feedback from our principals about what we do. Business office,
do
they?
They do.
They really appreciate it.
I hope they do appreciate them. They do.
Congratulations
to Mom. Yes, that's well deserved.
Also, since one of the, as we've looked at budget reductions, one of the concerns that we've had is expressed concerns with athletic competition reductions. We've been working with Emory High School. Term time. I might say this, Green River High School basically is only participates in about 40-something% of what they can. So there's not much they can reduce the Green River High School. But in working with Emory High School, and particularly with Larry and with Todd Jeffs, who is the athletic director, we appreciate their cooperation. We asked them to look at reducing travel mileage, particularly. We were looking at actual games at that time, but really as the athletic director and athletic department coaches looked at it and the administration at Emory High, it makes more sense to look at mileage because that's where your cost is. Not necessarily games, but the amount of miles you travel, because that's where you accumulate the cost. You know, we asked them to look at 5-10% reduction. They have come with a proposal that we have basically accepted for this year, and it is a 5% reduction over last year, but it's a 12% reduction. If you average the last 4 years travel, it's a 12% reduction in the amount of travel for Emory High School in athletics. And if you look at that, you take the 12% reduction and calculate the number of miles, it's somewhere between probably $12,000-$15,000 savings the school district in athletic travel just for Emory High School. We're also having some discussion with our junior high principals. We're not sure if it's such a small area and they're not allowed to travel outside Carbon Emory area and what we can do there, but we are looking at that. Some of the ways they've looked at making those reductions are to travel together more, to have the teams playing on the same nights where they can travel, and boy, boys and girls travel together when possible on the buses. It's the only concern we have in all of this is it may have some impact on the amount of time the kids are out of class, which we've got to watch carefully, because mm-hmm. they may have to leave a little bit earlier. So we're going to have to monitor that to see how that works out. And if it does have that kind of impact, we may have to scale back and relook at that, because we certainly are aware of that as a possible side effect. But I just want to commend Emory High's administration, and particularly Todd and his coaches, for taking this on, looking at it, and working with Gwen and I. They will monitor that. We will monitor it. They'll schedule when they come to you. We will try to look at those miles before they're brought to you to approve, so that we can see where they're at. I did send you, I think, a chart looking at those reductions. But there is some increase just because we're in a new region next year. It's not major, but it is about 112-mile increase. And then also, if you notice, swimming is not on that list. So mm-hmm. we're still not sure how many swim meets we're going to end up with. Activity Association, I think, allows like 14, but we're looking at probably starting out with 3 or 4 and trying to build from there, mm-hmm. and then determine where we set that. So swimming will add some to this. But I do commend them for the work they've done on that. It has been a real effort on their part, and I think it's noticeable. Background check rule. You heard in the news about the audit that was done on background checks on employees throughout the state of Utah. State office has a new rule they're proposing that's been drafted. Well, I actually think they passed it this last Friday. But it will require, now let me just quickly give you the background. There was a law passed back in 1999, I believe, that required the Bureau of Criminal Identification to keep on record, on file, the fingerprint checks of all licensed employees in the state. And for some reason, that law did not get implemented correctly, and those records were not kept. They were once a teacher passed the background check, those were destroyed because they felt at that time that it was a violation of civil rights to keep those only on criminals. And I think the law, as they went back and looked at the law actually read that those were to be kept on known on those who were convicted of crimes and teachers.
Yeah, those are worrisome.
So now the state is, since there are no records, the state is faced with the problem of what to do. And this rule basically says beginning June 1st, 2009, a background check will be required for the renewal of a Utah license beginning June 1st, 2009. But also, during the period from July 1st, 2009 to June 30th, 2010, all licensed educators currently employed by Utah school districts shall provide fingerprints to the Utah Bureau of Criminal Identification for inclusion in the database that's described in the law. We're not sure how they're going to accomplish that, but it will require all current licensed educators to be re-fingerprinted and for those fingerprints then to be in that database and on file. We don't know whether they're going to come out to each district and do that, whether they'll set it up like blood drives and have people come and be fingerprinted. We're not even sure how they're going to pay for it, because there is a $10 charge from Bureau of Criminal Identification. But that will have to be done during this next school year. And also part of the new law, the new rule, I don't think I sent you a copy of that, maybe I did, but they did pass a rule that any licensed educator who is arrested for certain criminal acts are required now to report that to the State Office of Education within 48 hours, I think it is, and to the school district. So it puts the burden on the part of licensed educators to do that, but then there are reporting requirements for the school districts also. And I think that's part of this whole audit, so that once the background check is done, if there is even an arrest, you have to report it. And then the district is required to do certain things with suspension and other things pending the outcome of that. I don't know how what kind of impact it'll have, but it's part of the new state board rules on background checks. Just a couple other quick things. I did send you a copy of our mission, our vision, mission, and goal document that we have. I'm going to be spending this next year going through this quite in depth, looking at our district vision, mission, and goals, and trying to seek input from all kinds of stakeholders. It'll be quite a comprehensive process, I think. But it has not been done for a number of years, probably about 15 years. We did update our strategic plan, but as far as our vision, mission, and goals, we haven't done much with for a long time, and so I think it's time that we do that. And so any input that you want to give, send it to me, email, call me, write it down. Trying to look at areas that we don't have currently have goals in. It can become so massive that it's hard to manage, too, so we're careful there. But we would like to cover some of the key areas of the district with goals and direction that we want to go and you as the board would like to go. So hopefully in a year or so we'll be bringing this back to you for approval as a document that helps to guide and direct to what we do as a school district, keeping in mind that everything we do should be for the benefit of students and their academic, social, and physical well-being. So just alerting you to that. Graduation exercises, May 21st. I know Emory High is anxious to know which board members are going to be, first of all, who is going to be accepting the graduates so it can be on the program, and also who will be presenting diplomas. I assume Roy will be in Green River. You have a daughter graduating.
Yep.
I will be in Green River this year. Gwen will be at Emory High from the district office, Gwen and Jeff. So they need to know who is going to be handing out diplomas and accepting the graduates.
I think I was in Emory last year.
I was in Emory High last year, too.
I was a Green River, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'd like to go back.
I know.
It's a little shorter.
Anybody?
Although they're going to have, I think, 18 graduates this year, which is
I know.
Life is long.
Well,
there's nine.
I can do either way. I'll always be the Emory High.
Okay.
Yeah, you will.
Do you have anyone graduating? No.
I do.
Nanette definitely needs to.
Well, one board member needs to stand up after the principal presents them and accept the graduates, and then two of you probably need to, or at least one of you at a time, you trade off, but at least one of you be there to hand the diplomas as they as they come through with along with the not real long.
Is that, Marie, are you going to be, or do you want to?
I can do whatever.
I want to be at Emory next year because I have a grandson. So I'll go to Green River with Kirk.
You know, to be honest, in my situation right now, it probably would be safer to not put me definitely anywhere.
Why don't you put Nanette and I, then I'll accept him.
Okay.
Nanette and I will hand out the diplomas. Will that work? We usually just kind of split it in half. We'll put you on the end, Tanner end.
A lot of time.
Believe it or not, that's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Wow. 2 weeks from tomorrow?
Graduation. Just for your information, our closing social we have with our administrators and maintenance, transportation, and board is scheduled for the 28th of noon at Santa Fe Junior High for lunch. At that time, we'll be honoring we actually have 10 retirees at this time. We will honor them at that time and give them their clock. And so we would invite you to participate, and if you can be there, give Peggy a call so we can have a count for the lunch. We're pretty much doing the lunch ourselves this year so that we don't have any major expenses other than buying food that comes out of our other district, our employee accounts that we have for our district office. Our administrators, our district office people put so much a month into an account that we use to buy wedding gifts and these kinds. That's where this money comes from, is out of our accounts that we donate out of our own pockets. So that's what we pay for the meals. So I think there's a $5, we're charging $5 a plate. plate for individuals except the retirees, and we'll pay for their lunch. But we will honor them at that time, so you and a partner, the appropriate partner, welcome to come. It'll be at noon on the 28th. That's all I have right now. We do have maybe a couple of close meetings with Jared too.
One more, I guess, thing to be aware of that you can go to. The Children's Justice Center open house scheduled for May 18th at 1:30.
It really is going to be done, huh?
Apparently. That's what I've heard. And from what I hear, it'll be quite a big event that they're planning.
Did you say 1:30?
1:30. That's on the 18th, I believe that's Monday.
Okay.
So, and then just one other thing, we did receive, Janine with the Child Nutrition Program applied for some grant money from the Recovery Act. One of the areas of the Recovery Act was to provide equipment for school lunch programs, and she was awarded $33,000 to buy some steamers in three schools in the district, I think. Book Cliff, Farron, and Huntington Elementary. And she'll be able to rotate some of her other equipment. But I thought that was a good thing to receive that. That's all I have.
That's all you have?
Yeah.
Okay. And we have items for closed meetings. So
I do have one item. It would be collective bargaining for negotiations.
Okay, then we need a motion to...
I would make the motion that we dismiss and go into closed meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for coming. Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gary, Kim, thanks.